Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, here we are again. We finished up Psalm 78, as we talked about last time. And, it would have been 2 weeks ago we said we finished up Psalm 78 and kind of talked right. about the whole issue of it's not complicated. And that was last week's episode. But now we're moving on to a new thing that we want to pursue. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about here at Vision for Living a lot is the, or at least it weaves its way in our conversation a lot. Maybe I should put it that way.
Podcast, yeah.
Yeah. Is the removal of ancient landmarks and how that affects the next generation. And as we're moving into these weeks ahead, we've been thinking and praying, and I know you've been doing a lot on this as you try to come up with some content, but we've been thinking and praying about where we want to go the next few weeks with Crosstalk. And I think we want to explore a very important landmark, or maybe actually landmarks,
right.
that were left to us from the Reformation days. Mm-hmm. And what I'm referring to is the five solas. And those are, I think we want to, over the next few weeks, kind of pursue that. But before we kind of get into that and just give an overview for this week's episode, give us a little bit of history and background on the five solas and what those mean, and maybe how they are going to fit into the whole issue of transferring to the next generation.
All right. I want to give credit where credit's due, first of all. I was reading an article by R.C. Sproul. Mm-hmm. Some of our listeners will recognize his name. Hopefully, most if not all of them will recognize his name. R.C.'s a very faithful teacher of the Scriptures. And in an article, he talked about how they had the five solas in their bulletin, their church bulletin that's handed out every week, so that mm-hmm. those are kind of a benchmark of their commitment to doctrinal purity.
Which is also something we talk about a lot here.
Exactly. So, I mean, hey, woo, bing,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right.
idea. And so I thought, man, that's something we should talk about. It mixes with what we've been saying. But to get to your question and where this all, why this is significant, where it came from, we just talk a little bit about the history of the church. And if people know, many of our people know that the early church was biblical, but it didn't take long for false teaching, false doctrines to creep in, and then for the right. church to get larger, and then to get accepted by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire couldn't defeat it. Mm-hmm. Finally just sort of embraced it.
Right, which some would say it was not good, and others might say it was wonderful.
Well,
spread.
There were good and bad things, right. but what did happen was that the church, the universal church, the church at large, the Catholic Church, became right. large, and...
And when we say Catholic, we do mean the universal.
We do, but yeah, it also came to be known as the Catholic Church. But
right.
yes, we did. We're talking about the church as a whole began to embrace some things that were not biblical. It began to embrace the authority of the church itself over
right.
Scripture.
Right.
It began to mix in idolatry and icons and things. Well, that grew until we get to the Middle Ages, 500 through about 1500, and those were often called the Dark Ages because
right.
they were dark theologically, they were dark biblically.
Spiritually speaking.
There was very little.
There was not
biblical.
Much knowledge
yeah.
of the Scriptures.
They didn't have the Scriptures.
And basically on superstition.
The only people who had the
right.
Scriptures were the priests and
right.
muckety-mucks who were,
right.
you know...
And the church preyed on that superstitious feeling of the people a lot.
It did. So mm-hmm. as the 1500s or the 16th century approached,
right.
there were those who were beginning to be very uncomfortable with the direction of the church and direction of theology.
Right.
And out of that sprang the Great Reformation.
Right.
And the Great Reformation, out of the Great Reformation, and these men, some of these great men like Luther and Calvin and others, came these five solas. The word sola means only.
Mm-hmm.
Five onlys.
Right. It's Latin.
Sola
right.
is Latin for
right.
singular only. And that's not exactly right. But the point is, five onlys, the five, there's, what are those things? And those five things came up. And that's what we want to talk about today. We just want to kind of review them.
Yeah. And before we get to that, how does this relate, though? So we can kind of make the connection to what is our driving thing here that we tend to do at Vision for Living a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How does this relate to transferring to the next generation, all that we hold dear? How does that relate? I think it may be obvious, but let's bring that out a little bit.
Well, of course, the Reformers knew that they had to codify, somehow make clear,
right.
write down what it was they wanted to pass on to the generations to come. They'd been lost, and so they handed us what we already had in Scripture, but they clearly explained it and wrote it out and said, these are the things that the church and the generations to come must have. We must pass on. And so our church fathers, our church forefathers, handed to us their spiritual children, these five solas. And that's what we talk about here, those things that we absolutely must pass on to the next generation.
Right, and we've talked about that a lot in the past several months. I think we even did one episode, if I remember correctly. We've done so many now, it runs together. But one of the episodes we talked about the importance of doctrine and the importance of passing on what we believe. And I think these really kind of codify, if you will,
They specify those things that are important.
You know, and let me just read those off to our listeners here. They may be familiar, they may not. I think once they hear them, they'll be familiar with it. One is sola scriptura, which is the word of God alone. You know, it's the written divine revelation alone that can bind the conscience of a believer, absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Right. So, and then we have sola fide, which is justification is by faith alone. The merit of Christ imputed to us by faith is the sole ground of our acceptance by God, but which by which our sins are forgiven. Okay. And then sola Christus, which is Christ is the only mediator through whose work we are redeemed. And then there's sola gracias, and I always want to mess up. I have a hard time. Even though I've studied Spanish, and you would think I would get this correctly, I struggle with this. But sola gracias, our salvation rests solely on the work of grace, of God's grace alone for us. And then sola de gloria, to God alone be all the glory. So those are the five.
Right.
Sola scriptura, or sola scriptura, sola fide, sola Christa, sola gracias, soli de gloria. I got that wrong a minute ago, but...
Yeah. So, but what we're looking at is there were these five things that the reformers and what we would call our spiritual forefathers said these are the absolutely necessary things to pass on. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been some other church councils and things that clarified certain things. The fundamentals came out in the early 20th centuries.
More of the modern day.
And a lot of this was... Yeah. Came out of this, these five solas, but but so you have Scripture alone, you have faith alone, you have Christ alone, you have grace alone, and you have the glory of God alone. R.C. Sproul points out that really the first four are the basis for the last one. They exist for the last one.
That's an interesting point.
That it is, but that the reason we have the first four is that the last one might be true.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because, and of course, many of our listeners will be familiar with John Piper. I mean, if anyone preaches about the glory of God more than anything, it's probably Piper. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy just gets on that. Because, you know, if people are hungry and passionate for the glory of God, they'll be hungry and passionate for everything. As you said, that's kind of, those four things kind of lead up. But I think it's interesting that Sproul, whom both of them are friends, good friends, brings out the point that, and I know that Piper would agree with this, but brings out the point that those four build us to the point of where we, in our hearts, want to glorify God in all that we do. And I don't know... I don't want to make a... this is more of a general statement. I don't want to be like pegging people. But I think, generally speaking, many times we lose sight of the glory of God.
Right.
In all matters, whether it be salvation or anything.
Well, it is interesting that Scripture, when it speaks of, and Romans speaks of the sin of man, it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Sproul brings out in this article that I read that kind of spurred us toward this subject matter, is that the one problem we have is that we don't give God the proper glory. Mm-hmm. The one sin toward which we gravitate is idolatry. Yep. It's putting something or some things or some concept ahead of God, even some concept of God. Now, I don't want to... We're going to get to that one later, but this is explaining the importance of these other things. If Scripture alone is not our guide, if faith alone is not the means of salvation, if Christ alone is not the only mediator between God and man, and if grace alone is not the only thing we look to as the power to save, then God's glory is compromised.
Yeah,
and so
in every respect.
So what, you know, I know that you know, we've talked and I share with you my vision for you and for Micah and for our future descendants. I don't want you to be as good a Christian as I am. You know,
yeah, I want to create good Christians. Yeah.
I want you and your brother and your descendants to be far greater, far more in love with Jesus, and live life far more to the glory of God than I ever have.
Right.
And that's what we want for the coming generations, the coming Kavanaughs, and some of them won't be Kavanaughs, some of them will be daughters in the mix, and they'll have other names, but all of them will have this attachment to, and this passion for, and this love for Christ, and for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so that's why these five are so important. That's why these first four are so important.
Yeah, it's interesting because you speak of, or give credence to Sproul. And I know that I watched a video once. Dr. Sproul was being interviewed actually by Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill. And Mark Driscoll was asking him, and I think I'll get this question correctly that he asked him, but basically saying, what do you think is the most theological battle of our time? Mm-hmm. You know, he asked him that, which I thought, okay, this is a huge question here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he said, well, actually, he said, I feel like it's your Christology.
Mm-hmm.
He said, honestly, that's been our theological battle since time began.
It's been the front burner.
Or since the church was. So he said, because if you get your Christology wrong and that you're not Christ-centered, you're not solely focused upon Christ, mm-hmm. then you will get everything else wrong. And you will misinterpret Scripture.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't understand grace. What faith are you looking for? I mean,
yeah.
Faith, what does that mean? You know? And then God is not glorified. Christ is not glorified. And I found that very, it stuck with me for
a long
time.
When you shared that with me, I told you that I had a professor in seminary who's now gone to be with the Lord. And he brought out to us, he was constantly reminding us that the central issue of our theology was our Christology. What do we believe about Christ, the person and work of Christ? And of course, we get our Christology from Scripture, so that makes the two...
Right.
very closely related, and all of these are closely related.
Yeah, I mean, they weave together. I'm kind of highlighting here, you know, and kind of, you know, touching on each one of those, because I think, obviously, you can't do without the other.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have to have one.
They are necessarily attached to one another, independent of one another.
And yeah. It's so important, I'll bring this out, it's so important to hone our thinking.
Right.
On these matters.
Right.
And here's why. And people go, why do you keep harping on this, Daniel? Because anybody who knows me well knows that I harp on this over and over mm-hmm. and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep harping on this? And a prime example, I've gotten in discussions, I've done a lot of traveling, done a lot of work with teams and various denominations and groups. And one of the discussions that's come up is that, you know, can we know Christ apart from the Scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the question that comes mm-hmm. up, which I think this deals directly with that. Can we know Christ apart from the Scriptures? And of course, my contention always was no. And as we got into the discussion, I mean, obviously look at Romans 10, where it talks about the articulated gospel and how should they hear without a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. Romans 1, where it's just enough in creation mm-hmm. to condemn a man. It reveals, you know, in the heart of man, the law of God is written, and we are condemned. You know, even C.H. Lewis talks about that in Mere Christianity. But if they do not have the Word of God, if we do not go and preach people, then Christ will not be known. And so your thinking on this will dictate,
mm-hmm.
your belief system will mm-hmm. dictate how you live this out.
Mm-hmm.
And you ultimately have to get real with yourself and say, okay, if I don't believe this, then I must believe this. And this is true with any of mm-hmm. these.
Well, yeah, your talk there as we kind of wind down here, your talk there reminds me of something Jesus told the Pharisees. See, their belief system affected the way they lived and the way they tried to make other people live.
Right.
But Jesus said to them, search the Scriptures. One version will say, you search the Scriptures.
Right.
Either is possible. But search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think your eternal life is in your knowledge of the Scriptures.
Right.
You know, but those Scriptures are what testify of me, the salvation. The reality is in the person, my person, in the person mm-hmm. of Christ, mm-hmm. and so that's the significance
right.
of these whole five things here. And Christ certainly is at the center of the whole issue.
Well, we definitely want to look at these individually
right.
over the next week, a few weeks, and we're running
at
out of time here.
At least one a week,
right? But at least one a week, hopefully. And we want to dive into these. So I would say, you know, at least for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the five solas.
Right. Maybe one.
And we want to encourage our listeners to join us and tell other people about this, because each one is going to build on the other.
They might meditate on one.
And I'll just draw this out real quick to our listeners. If you miss a session of Crosstalk, you can get it on iTunes, have it load directly to your phone.
Right.
And I want our listeners to know that. But
listen to it while they're driving.
Exactly. Yeah. The next few weeks, we're going to go through these five solas. And we're going to just delve into them and kind of talk about them on a little bit more deeper level. But we do thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.